Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. I'm just going to announce the substitutes here first. Substituting for MHA Pike is myself, MHA Gammon Walsh. Substituting for MHA War is Minister Howell. And substituting for, no, you're here. Okay, because we had Leela Evans was substituting for MHA Brown. No? The other way around. Okay. Okay. Just want to make sure the committee is okay, that if one of the independents do come and they wish to have ask questions, that we allow them some time at the end. Everyone's okay with that? Yes? Okay. And we'll have a break probably about an hour or so. We'll see where we're to that point in time. So also, if you could please not adjust the chairs. I know it's hard to remember, but they're adjusted for the MHAs. There's water at the end here. And so first I'm going to ask the members of the committee to introduce themselves, and then I'll ask the minister to introduce her staff, but this is only an introduction of her staff. Following that, I'll ask the committee to move the minutes of the last meeting, and then I'll ask the clerk to call the first subhead, and then the minister can speak about the department if you wish. So we'll start over on this side. Oh, one more thing. If your light is not coming on, just wave your hand like this, okay? All right, so we'll start over on this side. Minister Howell.
Krista Lynn Howell, MHA for St. Barb Lands and Meadows, Minister of Municipal and Provincial Affairs.
Lucy Stoyles, MHA for Mount Pearl North.
Lyle O'Driscoll, MHA for the District of Fairland.
Scott Reed, MHA, St. George's Humber.
Dave Hamlin, Government Member's Office.
Scott Fleming, Researcher, Third Party Caucus Office.
Jordan Brown, MHA, Lavender West.
Brad Russell, Office of the Official Opposition.
Chris Tibbs, MHA for Grand Falls, Windsor, Watkins.
Okay.
Sarah Studley, Minister of Digital Government and Service NL.
Scott Jones, Assistant Deputy Minister of Digital Government and Service NL.
Gail Boland, Assistant Deputy Minister, Digital Government Service NL.
Sean Dutton, I'm the Deputy Minister of the Department.
Bonnie Steele, Departmental Controller.
Devin Ryan, Executive Assistant.
Kathy Dix-Payton, Director of Communications. Okay, I'd like to ask for the adoption of the May 6th minutes. Moved by MHA Stoyles. So I'll ask the clerk to call the first subhead.
For the Department of Digital Government and Service Newfoundland and Labrador, Executive and Support Services 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive.
1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive. Minister?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being here. So I'm very pleased to be here with our team, Digital Government Service NL, and we provide a range of services to people across the province. We joke that we are the lint trap of government. If it doesn't fit within one of the departments, it's probably ours. We do a lot of, you know, very important work, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to, you know, make light of all of it, but we end up with lots of ancillary responsibilities. So everything from licensing, inspections related to public health, public safety, environmental protection, vital documents, so birth certificates, birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates, health and safety of employees in our workplaces, consumer interests, financial services, and then motor registration is one of our largest divisions. We do obviously driver's testing, driver's license, vehicle registrations, photo ID cards. We are also responsible for road safety, driving safety, and our public highways, and we have a number of programs where we try to improve that. And so we also, originally our department was created with the aim of consolidating, where possible, licensing, permitting, inspecting, regulating functions within the government, and provides a single window access point to the public for those services. So we try and have a good streamlined online presence, but also you can walk into our government services centers where maybe through different doors, but we try and have most of those public-facing services available in one place to residents. So we have over 150 pieces of legislation, standards, and codes of practice which give us the authority to carry these responsibilities. So we have a budget of $28.4 million. We also bring in a significant amount of revenue to the province. So $8.2 million, which is noted in our estimates. But we also bring in $111.4 million, and that goes right into the Consolidated Revenue Fund. And that would be from things such as motor registration fees, deeds fees, and issuer fees. And so, obviously, we're digital government and service now. So the digital part, we try to work very closely with the OCIO and across departments to make sure that we have we maximize the number of services online for residents, as well as having, you know, a good user experience, making everything as easy to use as possible, which we have a big long list and, you know, tons of room for improvement, but we're slowly chugging along at that. We also oversee occupational health and safety, which is responsible for the health and safety inspection and enforcement programs. And so that involves the code standards of practice for health and safety working conditions. And all of these costs are recovered from Workplace NL. So there's offsetting revenue for all these expenditures. And so that would be through the fees that employers pay through Workplace NL. And we also have the Office of French Services. So I'm also Minister of responsible for Francophone Affairs. So we have a small team who do French translation, French language training for the provincial government, and also provide support in my capacity as Minister responsible for Francophone Affairs. We are also responsible for the King's Printer, formerly the Queen's Printer, and we do all the printing services for the provincial government, the public, and the health authorities, the health authority. I want to give a particular shout out to the King's Printer. For the budget time, they do all the obviously printing of the budget documents, and I understand they stay up most of the night printing all the budget documents on budget day to make sure that we're all here. You know, a very important document of the budget is ready and available. So I just want a special shout out to them, who stay up all night every year the night before the budget. And they work just in the basement. It's a very impressive operation they have there. And so I think most people in this room and anyone listening or watching would have interacted with our department at some point. And I also just want to thank all of our staff for their professionalism we strive for when dealing with people of the province. And happy to answer as many questions as we're open book. Thank you.
Okay. MHA Tibbs.
Thank you very much, Minister, for the introduction. I just have some general questions starting out here. Are you still applying zero-based budgeting?
Yes.
Are there any errors in the published estimates book that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Have any positions been eliminated? What are they, if there have been?
To my knowledge, we have not eliminated any positions.
The minister said during estimates last year that there were no new attrition targets. Has the attrition plan been cancelled?
We have no attrition targets this year.
Minister, how many people are employed in the department?
That's an excellent question. So we have, including the Credit Union Deposit Guarantee Corporation, we have 468 staff members. So that would... That's positions, and we have 404 filled roles at the moment.
Thank you, Minister. How many retirements have occurred in the last year?
Just a second. I do have that here, unless someone has it sooner than I can put my hands on it.
Bonnie Steele, there were 11 retirements.
Thank you, Ms. Steele. Minister, how many vacancies are not filled in the department? I think you just said, but...
It's a bit complicated, but I think there's 64 kind of open roles that there's no one in right now. No, we're not actively recruiting that number, but...
Thank you, Minister. Minister, how many layoffs have occurred in the department in the last year?
Bonnie Steele. We had 44 end of employments and resignations combined.
Thank you, Ms. Steele. Minister, how many new hires took place in the last year?
So we had 37 new hires, or people new to government.
Thank you, Minister. How many contractual and short-term employees are in the department?
So we had 95 people on short employments, and that also includes students.
Thank you, Minister. How many employees are working from home versus in the government office itself?
I don't believe we have any. We don't have any staff permanently working from home. There might be the odd accommodation, but in general, no one is working from home.
Thank you. Did your department receive any funds from the contingency fund? If so, how much and what was it used for?
We did not receive any contingency funds.
No. Thank you, Minister. In the Minister's mandate letter, she was directed to increase the, quote, number of services delivered online by 75% by 2022. Was this target met, and can you outline which services were added, if it was?
We, I think, have doubled that target, so we have far exceeded that target. The most, I don't have the list in front of me, but the areas where we exceeded the target primarily were in financial services licensing. So now you can apply for your, you know, real estate agent license online. You can renew all those licenses online. I feel like every few weeks there's a new online service being added. I should have brought my list, but I can get you the list.
Perfect. Thank you, Minister. Minister, we'll start off with 1.1.01 with the Minister's Office, Transportation and Communication. Last year, $29,900 was budgeted, but only $11,000 was spent. Can you explain this, Minister, please?
I would assume that, you know, we didn't travel as much, and I've been only attending what I think is the most important things.
Thank you, Minister. Moving on to 1.2.01, salaries. Last year, the department went over budget by $85,800, and this year we see a further increase budgeted. Can the minister explain this, please?
1.2.01, and that was salaries?
Yes.
So that's the negotiated salary plan. We also added a contractual director of digital government, and then all the salary increases, the negotiated salary increases.
Thank you, Minister. Employee benefits. Last year, the department went over budget by $132,200. Can the minister explain this, please?
Yes. And so this is more of an accounting thing, but my understanding is that this includes all the this includes all of the workers' compensation charges for all of our departments. They group it all into this line item.
Thank you, Minister. Moving on to purchase services, last year the department went over budget by $40,000. Can the minister explain this, please?
Yes. So there's a new kind of FTP, a digital government. All the ministers of digital government have been getting together now twice a year. And so we are now formally starting kind of an FTP. And so they're calling it the Digital Trust and Credential Program, a big part of that. And so we agreed to pay $10,000 a year, and I believe this is we've prepaid 3 years' worth.
Thank you, Minister. Moving on to 1.2.02, French Language Services. Can you quantify the workload or demand for translation services? The minister indicated last year that with COVID-19, demand was down for these services. How is it now?
Well, I can speak. I guess they do a range of translations. So we recently just, I think, launched our motor registration website in French, and we're working on a new road user's guide. So the guide, when you get your license permit, that all the rules of the road, you know, the team are working on translating that in French. So in addition to all the normal government translation that they do, and working with the federal government, when they have time available, they work on some of those bigger media projects for us. So we try and use their skills to maximize the use of their skills.
Thank you, Minister. Moving on to salaries, last year the department went over budget by $13,400. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Are you still at 1.2.02?
Yes.
Okay. That would just be the approved salary increase and the recognition bonus.
Moving on to professional services, last year the department went under budget by $34,300, but the budget remains the same for this year. Can you explain this, Minister, please?
So sometimes when our translation needs kind of exceed our staff capacity, we have an agreement with the federal government and we pay the federal government for extra translation. So we didn't need that, but I think it's important that we keep that so that we're able to meet the demand of when other departments might need French translation as well. We kind of coordinate that.
Makes sense. Thank you, Minister. Moving on to 1.2.03, administrative support. and purchase services. The department went over budget by $168,100 last year, but only has $100 budgeted for this year. Can this be explained, Minister?
Absolutely. So we've been working on this big death registration project, and essentially that is, it's concluded now. So it's like an electronic system that doctors and funeral homes and everyone has access to. So when someone passes away, there's a medical record that follows online. And so the federal government paid for this. And so my understanding is that this is paid out of the purchase services line item, and the $100 allows us to keep this line item open.
Okay, gotcha. Property furnishings and equipment under the same heading. The department spent $74,000 that wasn't budgeted last year. Can you explain this, Minister?
Yep, so we completed, there's an ongoing motor registration dealer web upgrade, and that cost was put in this line item, which was $76,000. We're projecting it's going to cost $76,000.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair.
MHA Brown.
I have some general questions there first. Has the department considered or working on any amendments to the legislation to end no-fault evictions?
To end no-fault...
evictions.
Evictions?
Yeah.
So right now there's different ways of getting evicted, right? So you can... anyone can get evicted with a certain time notice. So at the moment, no, we're not considering a change to that. You know, I think there's a balance between the tenant's right and the landlord's rights, obviously. You know, I don't think it's feasible to have a system where, as a tenant, you can stay in a property forever. You know, I don't think that landlords would, you know, I don't think that would be a palatable solution, right? You just have to give a certain amount of notice.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about no-fault evictions. So where, like, the landlord gives no reason, just evicts you. Legally in this province, you can do that.
With a certain time, yes. So
yeah.
It'd be difficult. So no, we're not.
Okay.
I'm happy to debate the policy objections, but at the moment, no.
No. I just want to make sure you understand it was the no fault. Like, you know, sometimes someone can evict somebody for damage or something like that. I just want to make sure that you understood what I was asking. That's all.
I mean, I do. I think... you know, we have a lot of different types of landlords, and I think that landlords have an expectation that if they want to, let's say, change the use of their property, or, you know, that they're not tied to having a tenant for an undetermined period of time in their, you know, in their property.
Yep. No, perfect. No, I understand.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that you understood what I was asking, that's all. What kind of savings has the department realized by increasing the number of services provided online? What average dollar value have you saved by switching to online from services?
I don't think I can give you a dollar value. What I say is I think we are freeing up capacity to better help people in person. And a lot of what we do, so I just be clear, I guess it's a digital government. So this estimates binder, the only cost that we pay for digital government side is that one director of digital government, right? We are spending OCIO money, or the MyGov and L team is in the OCIO budgets. They pay for that team.
Okay.
So these estimates do not include, other than the director of digital government, don't include the IT money. And so, you know, we hear from a lot of seniors and a lot of people, you know, they think it's very important to still be able to access in-person services and phone services, which I agree completely. We're trying to, you know, still service the public. But, you know, for example, we did realize some efficiencies. We redid our lottery licensing and our residential tenancy team. We restructured that a bit. I think I talked about that in last year's estimates. And the applying for a lotto license online, as well as doing your real estate license online and renewals of those online, allowed us to hire an additional residential tenancies adjudicator. So we are kind of repurposing the value that we're getting.
All right. Many seniors, people with disabilities, and low-income people still have, you know, poor access to technology and that. What measures is being taken by the department to ensure that a lot of services still will be remained in person for these individuals?
Well, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we are not planning any reduction in in-person services.
Perfect, thank you. Last year, in essence, you mentioned the department received some information from Rothschild regarding the value of potentially selling off the registry system to be done privately. Has the department considered any of this to move the registries to a private system?
So we have not made any change from what I would have said last year in estimates.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Has the department engaged in any new projects or initiatives regarding cybersecurity for the government or Crown agencies?
So there would be nothing in digital government and ServiceNow related to cybersecurity. That would more be for our OCIO estimates.
Okay. Perfect. Can we get an update on the use of cameras, road safety cameras in school zones and for speed traps?
Absolutely. It's not going fast enough, in my opinion. I am becoming more involved. We have a pilot going to launch hopefully soon. I committed publicly to having some speed cameras this year, and I'm confident that we will achieve that. Some logistics, legal things we're working out, but it's not going as fast enough as I'd like, and I'm trying to do whatever I can to move it forward as soon as possible.
Perfect. When it comes to the Building Accessibility Act, will any be amendments or anything being worked on now currently by the department to improve building accessibility in this province?
Well, my mandate letter asks me to bring changes forward, so we are working in the pursuit of my mandate letter, and I cannot speak to where the status of any changes might be.
Great. When changes were made to the PUB Act, and that for giving you the ability to look into stuff with the PUB, have you actually gone and made any requests to the PUB to look at some of the decisions that were made, particularly around like the 5 cents at 5 cent added on for the closure of the North Atlantic or anything like that? Have you made any actual investigations using that power?
I have. That really bothers me. That is a personal pet peeve of mine. I went to see the Public Utilities Board. I was very unhappy with them. I told them exactly how I felt about the 5 cents. I asked them, why is there still 5 cents? They said, I can't remember exactly what they said, but I said, nothing has changed in the marketplace that they did not feel like it was a, they did not feel like it, I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I did not receive a satisfactory answer in my opinion. There is an ongoing gas price review that we changed the law so that I could, you know, make them do. So they are working on that right now. It's not going to be completed within my, with the timeline that I feel like is acceptable, but I voiced that to them. I continue my daily struggle with challenging the Public Utilities Board.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Minister. currently, under the system, is it fully implemented now that the insurance companies have to report to motor registration when an insurance policy is being canceled?
Yes.
Is that fully implemented at this point in time?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Can we have an update on the chemical testing pilot project for private well water?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Yeah, I didn't hear that. The chemical testing pilot for well water.
Gail Boland. So that's a pilot project that we're delivering on behalf of another department.
Okay.
Yeah. So but the particulars of that I would not be able to advise. The kits come to our GSEs. People come by, they pick them up, they proceed with the testing procedure, and they drop it back to the GSEs.
You're the front of shop, but there's someone else in the back shop.
Yes.
Okay, no worries. That would be Department of Environment?
Sorry?
Department of Environment, then?
Yes.
Okay, I'll ask Bernie. Thank you. When do you expect the work to be completed on the funding announcement back in February to expand access to high-speed internet to 300 communities? Okay, I'm filling in for somebody, so this I know is not your department. That's something that my estimates I asked already. All right, that's the end of my questions for this section. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So do you have MHA Tibbs? Do you have any additional questions for this section?
Not for this heading, Chair.
MHA Brown? Finished with
so
this heading? Okay, I asked the clerk to recall the heading.
Executive and Support Services, 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 carry, inclusive carry? Carried? Carried. I ask the clerk to call the next heading.
Regulatory Affairs, 2.1.01 to 2.2.03 inclusive.
2.1.01 to 2.2.03 inclusive, Regulatory Affairs. MHA Tibbs.
Thank you, Chair. General questions under the current heading. What is the current wait time to have a hearing at the Residential Tenancies Board, and what is the current caseload waiting to be heard?
I have that here. No, I don't. You go ahead. Sorry.
Scott Jones. So in the past year, the residential tenancy officers received 1,382 applications, of which closed 1,235. There's still 147 remain in various stages of processing. And the average average time from application to hearing has been reduced down to 36 days because we've fully staffed for with the four residential tenancy adjudicators.
Thank you, sir. Under salaries, Minister, the department underspent by $190,200 last year. Can this be explained?
Yep, so we had vacancies and delays in recruitment, and then this was offset by the negotiated salary increase and the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. Under transportation and communication, the department underspent by $18,100. Can this be explained, Minister?
So we underspent due to lower travel requirements related to residential tenancies hearings and conferences. The majority of our hearings are now conducted virtually. We give that option of having a virtual hearing, so most people choose that.
Makes sense. Under purchase services, the department overspent by $21,000. Can this be explained, Minister?
So this was as a result of debit credit card fees for online services, and then we had higher than anticipated association fees.
Thank you, Minister. Under 2.1.02 pensions benefit standards, salaries. The department underspent by $13,800, but this year we see a budgeted increase. Can this be explained, Minister?
Yep. So the increase reflects the negotiated salary increase. And then you're talking about 2.1.02, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so then we had a vacant administrative officer position for a portion of the year, which was then also offset by the salary increases and the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. We'll move on to Consumer Commercial Affairs. Well, it's continued. 2.1.03, Commercial Registrations. Under salaries, the department underspent by $105,800 last year, but this year the budget is increasing. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Yes, so the increasing budget is due to the negotiated salary increases, and then the underspending is a result in vacancies in clerk types three positions throughout the year. Which was then offset by salary increases and the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. Same heading, purchase services last year, the department overspent by $168,200. Can this be explained, Minister?
Yeah, so this was a result of higher than anticipated debit credit fees with online transactions related to deeds registration. And we reprofiled costs for our armored vehicle, like cash pickups. So that is now moving. No, that. We took. Can you clarify the armored cash pickups? Sorry. Thank you, Bonnie.
Yeah, so the increase was the debit credit card fees, but then we increased the budget for. We charged the cost off for the reprofiling of costs for secure cash pickups. These were originally charged off to transportation and communications, but should really reside within the purchase services portfolio.
Thank you. Thank you. Minister, what are the current rates on credit card and debit purchases?
So the Department of Finance has an agreement with the vendor. I believe it's out. They're actively looking at options. I don't have the rates if anyone... So that would be the cross-government a contract for all of government in terms of those rates. And the more we do online, obviously, the more those fees go up.
Perfect. Thank you, Minister. Moving on to 2.2.01, vital statistics registry. Can you give us an update on the death registration project? I know you touched on it earlier.
It's completed and live. The death notification project, yeah.
Thank you, Minister. Under salaries, last year the department overspent by $177,700, and this year the budget is increasing. Can this be explained, Minister?
Sorry, which one was that?
Salaries under vital statistics registry,
sorry. So that's the increases, the salary plan and salary increases. And then the past year, there was a retirement payout and then the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. Under purchase services last year, the department underspent by $13,100. Can this be explained, Minister, please?
Yes. So our registrar got married and was changing her name. And so we didn't reorder more certificates with her new name on. We used up all the certificates that were left with her old name on prior to ordering new certificates with her new name. That was her idea.
Pretty frugal. Perfect. Thank you, Minister. Under revenue for the federal, last year revenues were $16,800 higher than budgeted. Can this be explained, Minister, please?
Yep. So the revenue reflects a higher number of deaths reported through the National Routing Standard. So this submits records to Stats Canada, Service Canada, and CRA. And then we also got revenue from Elections Canada reporting.
Thank you, Minister. Moving on to the King's Printer, 2.2.02. Salaries. Last year, the department underspent by $43,200. Can you explain this, Minister, please?
Sure. So overall, you know, we had some vacancies. We didn't have as much overtime as sometimes we do, offset by the salary increases and the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. Under supplies, last year, the department underspent by $49,500. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
So they had fewer requirements for printing, and we reprofiled some money to buy some feeder replacement trays and a new round cornering machine, which shows up then in the property furnishings and equipment.
Thank you, Minister. Under purchase services last year, the department underspent by $49,000. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Yeah, so this is a lower copying printing charges.
Thank you, Minister. Under property furnishings and equipment, last year the department overspent by $74,700. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Yeah, this was we bought four replacement feeder trays and a new round cornering machine.
Round cornering machine. Thank you, Minister. Under 2.2.03, collection services. How much outstanding debt is owed to the government at this point in time?
Excellent question. I'm going to defer to Scott.
I don't have the precise number on me right now. It's a ever-changing number,
sure.
But it's in excess of $300 million.
Thank you, Scott. How many people or businesses owe this debt?
Scott Jones. Again, I don't have the precise numbers. The system doesn't necessarily, it's multiple systems, so it's hard to consolidate all the information, but it includes all individuals that would owe government on fees or taxes or students that have defaulted on their student loan.
Gotcha.
Or anybody that owes money for payment of business fees to commercial registry or the Department of Finance.
Thank you, Scott. And how is this trending? Is that an increase or decrease? Where are we going with this?
During the COVID period, because of some of the exceptions and the allowances we gave for individuals and businesses that were experiencing financial difficulties, we didn't actively collect during that period. So the balances didn't really move at that point in time and may have even increased somewhat with interest. But this past year, we have become more actively involved again in collections, including our objective this year has been to protect the Crown's interests through statement of claims issues. So that's what has been our focus this past year.
Thank you, sir. Under salaries last year, the department underspent by $250,200. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Yep, thank you. So this is due to vacancies and delays in recruiting collection officers offset by salary increases and the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. Under purchase services, last year the department overspent by $8,200. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Yep, so this is due to higher than anticipated legal statement of claims filed through the courts related to collections, so the cost associated with those.
Thank you, Minister. Good chair under that heading.
Okay.
Thank you.
H.A. Brown.
Thank you so much, Chair. Can we get an update on the how the integration of consumer and finance services worked out, and have there been any significant savings with the merger of these heads?
So I think it's gone pretty well. We were using the restructure, we're able to hire an additional residential tenancies adjudicator. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add.
Scott Jones. So the reorganization, including, as the Minister mentioned, the implementation of the new online servicing, has allowed to broaden the scope of the various licensing officers as well to not focus on one specific license, because they don't have to take a full paper-based product all the way through. So we're able to improve service and improve timelines with applications from that point. And again, as the Minister said, the merger of the amalgamation of the Consumer Financial Services Division into one unit was able to reallocate the financing salary dollars to fit the, to be able to get an additional residential tenancy adjudicator. And we're also able to hire a manager of residential tenancies, which is all resulted in significant reductions in wait time for residential tenancy hearings.
And that leads perfectly to my next question. Has there been an increase in staff and funding to residential tenancy? So I guess you just answered that one, the two new appointments. Has the department considered making it mandatory for landlords to go to mediation before an eviction of a tenant? Has that been any discussion or anything with that with the department?
That is not something that has been brought to our attention that I'm aware of. So, no.
Thank you, Minister. Has there been any reports brought to the department accusing a business of price gouging in the last year? And if so, how many investigations have been into businesses doing price gouging?
Scott Jones. There's been no price gouging. The department has received, or consumer affairs staff received, a couple of complaints potentially about high prices, but nothing that would validate price gouging.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for clarity, I know we say price gouging, but the word in the legislation is an unconscionable act, so it's a bit of a higher standard than I think I was gouged. You know, it's.
Yeah. It is from the nomenclature. It could be going back. Yeah, perfect. No, thank you so much for the clarification, Minister. Back in January, the department recommended to insurers and brokers that they end the practice of best terms pricing by the end of July. Right now, that's voluntary, and the department merely recommending customers to, you know, do their homework and whatnot. Is there any? Are we going to see any legislation around the outlawing of this practice?
At the moment, the bulletin should be satisfactory, but if we find that it's not, then we'll certainly take stronger action.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Minister. How many files have been resolved this year, and how much money have been collected by the province's outstanding debt, and how much do you how much is your target to recover this year?
Scott Jones. So we don't have specific targets. A lot of it is we're dealing with individuals or companies that are just by the nature of collectors are resistant to paying. So most, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, most of our efforts this past year is shifting our strategy so that we can protect the Crown's interest in the debt owed through statement of claims. That gets an extra six, depending on the legislation relates to, an extra 6 to 10 years to allow us to work with debtors to establish payment arrangements. And so that's our focus, is to get that, because that will also being impetus for the individual to contact us, which what we found in the past, to work on a repayment arrangement.
Perfect. Thank you. That was my final question under this this subject. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. One more question.
Yes.
Go ahead, MHA Tibbs.
Thank you, Chair. We just talked about, Scott, you just brought up the $300 million that's owed. Is there any way later on we can get a breakdown of where that money is owed from? Like, we always hear about, you know, drivers owing, you know, $15,000, $20,000 in fines. Is there any way we can get a breakdown of exactly where that money should be coming from or where it's owed from?
Scott Jones. First, just want to mention, fines collections is the only thing that's not part of the collection. It's still part of the Department of Justice.
Okay.
But I mean, we can get you a breakdown of the collection portfolio that we have. Again, with the fact that there is multiple systems that don't speak to each other.
Yeah, I can only imagine the logistics of it. But yeah. That'd be great if we can get that. Thank you. Yeah. That's it, Chair.
Okay, that's it. All right, I ask the clerk to recall the subheading.
Regulatory Affairs, 2.1.01 to 2.2.03 inclusive.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.2.03 inclusive Regulatory Affairs carried? Carried. I ask the clerk to call the next subheading.
Digital Government and Services, 3.1.01 to 3.4.02 inclusive.
3.1.01 to 3.4.02 inclusive, Digital Government and Services, MHA Tibbs.
Thank you, Chair. We'll start off with some general questions, Minister, please. Last year, the Minister characterized motor vehicles as a challenging work environment. Can the Minister outline any steps taken to make this division a better place to work?
Thank you. So we have a lean expert in the King's Printer, and so they lent their time to motor registration, so we believe that has led to improvement. To help alleviate some of the bottleneck from COVID, during COVID and after COVID, we changed the photo requirement from 5 years to 10 years to reduce the number of appointments, so that hopefully alleviated some things for staff, as well as we have a new appointment management system, so when residents get an appointment and you know, show up at a branch, they get a number, and so that system should help things work more smoothly.
Thank you, Minister. What type of volume is the division seeing at the various locations in person and online?
I don't have that on me, but we can certainly get that for you, unless Gail, do you want to?
Yeah, sure. In terms of online, we have extremely high percentages of people going through MyGovNL to renew their vehicle registrations as well as their driver's licenses. So that's like probably like 95, 98 plus.
Wow.
In terms of in-person service availability, we are enjoying a little bit of a slow season, as I can say,
sure.
I guess, right now. So in most of our locations, and this was as of last week, you're able to get an in-service appointment within a few days to a week, maybe a max here in Mount Pearl, our highest volume, of course.
Thank you. Does the Minister have any data on wait times for the issuing of documents, either online or wait times in person? I know we just said a couple of days, but for getting documents.
My understanding is there's no kind of wait time other than the processing time for a document to be issued in the mail and received in the mail. And I do know when there are urgent needs, we are able to accommodate that in many instances.
Thank you, Minister. The Green Report recommended privatization, and in last year's estimates, the Minister said evaluation of these services were at Cabinet. Can we get an update on if there is any plans to privatize?
I don't have any update in addition to what I would have said last year in estimates.
Thank you, Minister. Under salaries, last year the Department underspent by $455,500. This year the budget increases. Can the Minister please explain this?
Thank you. So the increase would be the negotiated salary increases. And then the decrease this year, we had vacancies in our highway enforcement officer positions, some clerical staff, a driver examiner position. We do find the motor registration has a high turnover. You know, it's not the easiest job, you know, helping people with, you know, vehicle transactions and stuff. And so we do find, you know, some people come in to motor registration and then, you know, they might look for another internal government job and move. So we do have a relatively high turnover.
Thank you, Minister. Under transportation and communications, last year the department overspent by $40,000. Can the minister please explain this?
Sure. Thank you. So we had higher postage charges. So we had an extra $30,000 in driver's license card printing. And then we had an extra $10,000 in travel costs for driver examiners in Labrador and the Northern Peninsula.
Thank you, Minister. Under supplies, last year the department underspent by $60,800. Can the minister please explain this?
Thank you. So the decrease is we had less of a requirement to buy regular license plates. So we issued Come Home Your license plates that were purchased last year.
Thank you, Minister. Under property furnishings and equipment, last year the department overspent by $53,200. Can the minister please explain this?
So the overspending was we bought replacement printers, some computer monitors, some ergonomic equipment, a few laptop replacements, two Tapley brake meters, and an iPhone that needed an upgrade.
Thank you, Minister. Under grants and subsidies, this year, this line item is expected to increase by $54,300. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
So that is, we have some U.S. membership fees, and that's the exchange rate increase estimated.
Thank you, Minister. Permitting, inspection, and support services, 3.2.01 in support services. Minister, will the department start posting bus safety inspections online as they happen, as opposed to batching them up and posting them by season in real time?
That's an excellent question. We're working towards, I guess the way the bus inspections work is we inspect 100% of buses at the start of the school year and before school starts, and then we have a cycle of all the other bus inspections. So the bus inspections for the September group were placed online, and then there's kind of a rolling rota. So we will, my understanding is we will soon be placing the rest of the inspection results online.
Thank you, Minister. Under salaries, last year the department underspent by $395,200. Can the minister explain this, please?
Sure. So we had vacancies due to hard-to-fill positions, which would then be offset by the salary increases and the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. Under transportation and communications, last year the department underspent by $88,100. But this year the budget remains the same. Can you explain this, Minister, please?
Yeah, so we had lower postage costs, and we had, due to the positions that we're not able to fill, we had lower than anticipated travel costs for inspection services.
Thank you, Minister. Under purchase services, last year the department overspent by $15,900. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Yeah, so one of our hard-to-fill positions we recruited from out of province, and so part of the government HR policy is they were given some relocation expense costs, and so those are in this line item.
What position would that have been, Minister?
It's a design approval technician.
Thank you, Minister. Under revenue for provincial, last year revenue collected was significantly lower than anticipated. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
So we had less revenue because some of our inspections that we do, people pay for. It depends on the type and reason for the inspection. But so we had fewer inspections that people had to pay for, essentially.
Thank you, Minister. Under heading 3.2.02, regional services. Under salaries, this year the budget is increasing by $291,300. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
So that would be the salary and plan increase and the negotiated salary increase.
Thank you, Minister. Last year, under Revenue Provincial, last year the department collected far less than what was anticipated. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
So, yes, so the decrease in revenue, just want to triple check. Okay. So we had people submit online electrical permit requests, and that goes into consolidated revenue fund, whereas when they sell a permit over the counter, it's recorded as revenue. So the money, because it's online, it for some reason goes into the consolidated revenue fund.
Thank you, Minister. Under occupational health and safety, 3.3.01, occupational health and safety inspections. Minister, how many investigations were undertaken, and what are the various statuses of those investigations?
Gail, please.
I would not be able to advise you of the status of the investigations. We have up to 2 years to complete our investigation and file any charges with the court.
Thank you, Gail. How many businesses or institutions were found to not be in compliance regarding health and safety conditions last year?
Sorry, one moment, please. Sorry, I don't have that number on hand at the moment.
Okay, maybe
it is available online, and I thought I had it, but I don't.
That's
my
okay.
Apologies.
Okay. Well, more questions, but I'll yield my time.
MHA Brown.
Perfect. Thank you, Chair. After a bit. There's a lot of, like it was mentioned, there's a lot of turnover in motor registration, partly due to the challenging work environment there. Is there any programs or any work being completed to mitigate some of the challenges? And is there any retention and recruitment plan being done by the government to increase employment in those areas?
I guess when I say it's a challenging work environment, you know, it's a job where you know, you can imagine what it is, you know, if I was working there, I'd sit there and you people come with a range of issues and you can help them as best you can, and you might not always be able to help them. And I think sometimes the general public aren't always the nicest in dealing with. And I think when you go to a store now, there's signs up to be nice to workers. And I think part of the problem is that, you know, the general public is not always that nice to workers. I'm not aware of, I guess, any, you know, systemic issues other than the fact that it's, you know, a government job that deals with the general public, and not everyone, you know, I think some people come into that job and then they, once they're in that job, they can look for other internal government roles and then they can transition. So I did mention that we had a lean review this year or recently, which hopefully improved some of the work processes, and we have a new a system for streamlining people when they come in to a motor registration office. So I don't think it's any more difficult than any other type of customer-facing role. I think it's just the nature of dealing with the public now. I don't know if anyone wanted...
Sean Dutton. Well, I guess one thing from 1 year to the next, we looked at in 2021, one of the difficulties in the time to fill was the time of processing some of the paperwork. So we asked Public Service Commission to prioritize motor registration requests for staffing action to make sure that we move those quickly. We've run a number of competitions where we're seeking to fill multiple positions at the same time. So there may be a number of Clerk 4 or Clerk 3 positions, and then we'll run a multiple competition at once to help to deal with the cleanup and also for converting temporary to permanent. I should also know that one of the reasons for the vacancies is that the weigh scales in Goobies has been closed, so we did not fill vacancies at the Goobies weigh scales at that time. So as that project is nearing completion, we've done a staffing process to hire a number of positions for the Goobies scales. Now that may result in some folks moving from other locations, and then we'll have to go back and backfill those roles as well. But as all the weigh scales are operational, we should have a better result on filling the positions in our HEO cohort as well.
I'd just like to add as well, from a recruitment perspective, we're also working very, very closely with the Association for New Canadians and using those strategies as a way to identify suitable employees.
Excellent. Thank you. I got the multi answers. Awesome. Everyone. Perfect. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that answer, actually. Has there been any talk or anticipation of upgrading the IT systems at mill registration for even more efficiency?
I guess we are looking at, so the motor registration system is kind of a really old system. In my mandate letter, it tasks us with looking at a plate-to-owner system rather than a plate-to-vehicle system, which we have. That requires a completely new, you know, fundamental change in the way our system is built, so, you know, likely a new system. So that is something that we're always looking at. I don't know if I'd frame it as efficiency, but a new system would give us a lot more flexibility and, you know, more revenue-generating opportunities. Like, we could sell vanity plates, you know, you could get Sarah, I don't know, I wouldn't do that, but, you know, that type of capability would... I don't know if efficiency, I don't think the system is maybe slowing us down from an IT, like building new things perspective, but...
Just antiquated, I guess.
I mean, it still works. It's still a powerhouse. I don't want to disrespect the system. It's probably listening, sorry. It's not listening, sorry. Anyway.
Thank you, Minister. Right now, how many highway enforcement officers are currently... hired by the department right now, and how many vacancies are in the Highway Enforcement Officer Program?
Gail Boland. So we have 11 Highway Enforcement Officers on the Avalon, one of which is vacant, three in Goobies, one of which is vacant, and as Sean had just said, we're working through that because we're hoping that the Goobies Weighscale Station will be open soon. We have six in Grand Falls, Windsor. There are no vacancy there. We have five in Pinsbrook, one vacancy. Two in Port Abbas with one vacancy, one in Happy Valley, and one in Labrador West.
All right, perfect. Since the new legislation came into effect last May, has there been a larger uptick of people registering all-terrain vehicles?
Gail Boland, not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean to say that there isn't. I just don't know off the top of my head.
No worries. Thank you so much, Gail. Can we have an update on the work in progress towards installing the new electronic logging devices on commercial vehicles, and when do we expect implementation of the requirements in this province?
Sure. So right now, they are required for any company that goes across provinces. They're not required yet for any company that only operates in Newfoundland, Labrador. But we are working on that. I don't know when the date is.
Gail Boland, we committed to sometime during 2023 to have provincial carriers mandated to do ELDs as well.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. Since the launch of the insurance validation program, has there been an increase in number of people caught without mandatory insurance?
So I guess the process for the insurance validation program is that when someone renews their vehicle, you know, in person or online in MyGovNL, they can't finish that process without having an active, valid insurance policy. So at that point, you know, the system would say, you know, please, you know, call your insurer. And most people, I think, would call their insurer, and then maybe they had a typo in their policy number, or just get the new policy number from their insurer and put it in, and it's fine. So we haven't heard any issues with that. So that would, I think in that process, we are successfully stopping anyone without a valid insurance policy from renewing their vehicle. Motor registration would also be getting a feed from the insurers of who cancels. And then we would be, you know, reaching out to those people to say, hey, you know, you need to have insurance. Let us know what your insurance is. I believe they get an email for that. And then there's a process that we follow up, which would then, I don't know if we've reached the point where we're canceling people's registration, but we will.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where you go.
So Gail Boland. So when this was initially determined to be a priority, which was prior to my coming to the department, I understand there was an automobile insurance review underway, and that's when this came up about Newfoundland and Labrador being one of the provinces with the highest rate of uninsured drivers in Atlantic Canada. At that point, I think it was quoted to be estimated around 13%. Happy to say that now it's around 5%.
Okay, excellent. No, it's great to hear that the project is working. Right now, how many inspectors are currently employed in the department for under the occupational health and safety?
And safety, in just in terms in officers, you know, not the administrative or management personnel, we have 17 officers working in the Greater Metro. We have 3 in Grand Falls, Windsor, 5 in Corner Brook, and 2 in Labrador.
Right now, how many vacancies are currently in the department for officers?
4.
Alrighty. I know in my district there always seems to be a high turnover of officers. Is there any recruitment or retention plan or anything to try to get those people to stay?
Yeah, we are trying to work through various types of strategies to keep people to stay. The 2 people, for example, right now who are stationed for Labrador have not been successful in securing a place to stay. So we've set up a rotation where there's an officer up in Labrador at all times, but they're rotating. Yeah. So we're looking at various options.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. Perfect. That would be the last question for this section. Thank you so much.
Okay, so in light of the fact, or in respect to the fact that there's just one individual behind the scenes working, we're just going to take a short 10-minute break. Okay, folks, we'll restart, and we'll start with MHA tips.
Perfect. We'll go back to 3.3.01, Minister of Occupational Health and Safety Inspection. Just one question there. Are there any updates on the come-by-chance investigation?
The investigation is ongoing.
Perfect. Thank you, Minister. Under salaries, last year the department underspent by $566,200. Can you explain this, please, Minister?
Sorry, which still under occupational health and safety?
Yes, ma'am.
Salaries? Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So we had vacancies in hygienist and OHS officer positions, and that was offset by salary increases and the recognition bonus.
Thank you, Minister. Have these vacancies increased the average time it takes to complete an inspection?
No.
Thank you, Minister. Under revenue for provincial, our understanding is that the money for occupational health and safety inspections is 100% recovered from Workplace NL. Why do we see an expense of $86,300 in total here?
Can I defer to Bonnie?
That's a timing difference in Bonnie Steele. That is a timing difference in the billing and receipt of revenue. So the revenue includes 1/4 of the last fiscal plus this year.
Thank you, Anna.
So we'll pick up the other 86 on the next billing.
Excellent. Under financial assistance for digital government services, 3.4.01, assistance to St. Lawrence Miners dependents. How many dependents are being supported here, or are still eligible to be supported?
Who wants to
take your Gail, there are currently 26 recipients, and that fluctuates from 1 year to the next.
Sure. Thank you, Gail. Has the department considered changing the rules for motor vehicle inspections? For example, inspections are only required when a vehicle is sold currently. You could be driving around for 12 years with the same car, unless it's sold and you have it, an inspection is not required. And we all know that some of these cars should not be on the road. Is there any plans in the future to change this?
It's not something that we're working on. I think, that I lived in the UK and we had mandatory MOT, we called it, you know what that stood for. We had an older car and every year we had to go pay a garage to inspect it and give us a sticker for our windscreen. And we had to pay, I think, you know, it was probably 40 pounds, so it'd be $80 for that inspection every year. So I agree with you. There's, I guess, the other side of, you know, adding cost and administrative burden to all the residents of the province. That would not be on my the top of my list to implement right now, based on the information that I have. And
sure. And I know in PEI they do it every year, I believe. But there can be a happy medium there. It doesn't have to be every year. It doesn't have to be 10 years. We could look at something like 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road sort of thing, because there are cars on the road that should not be on the road still.
I would say there are rules around, you know, there are mechanical rules about your vehicle. You know, I'm more familiar with the exhaust ones. You know, you're not allowed to have an exhaust that's modified or doesn't work properly. There's rules around tires. So there are, I'm not an expert in that, but there are kind of basic mechanical rules that your vehicle has to, you know, meet a certain condition of. And, you know, the RNC, when they find someone who they suspect the vehicle, or the RCMP, when they come across a vehicle they don't suspect meet the equipment regulations, they can send them for a mandatory inspection.
Thank you, Minister. And we're not suggesting by any means it should be yearly, because right now everybody finds it pretty difficult financially, but I'm sure there could be a happy medium in there somewhere. Minister, is the plate to person for motor vehicle registration being considered?
It is absolutely. It's in my mandate letter. To do that, we need a new motor registration system, which is currently not budgeted for and would be a very expensive project, which I think we need to do, but is not something that we're starting this year at the moment.
Thank you, Minister. Is there a price tag on that right now?
No, I mean, it would be a $6-12 million, you know, it's a multi-million dollar project. We have a few different systems, and this is more of an OCIO discussion, but we have a few systems on the same type of mainframe technology. And so we're moving right now, we're moving the student aid system to a new, that's one, that's the smallest system on the mainframe. We're moving that to a new modern system. So that's kind of our first, not a test project, but our first example. And so we'd have to, the price tag would depend on the scope of the project. And we haven't done any of that work yet.
Thank you, Minister. I'm not sure if this would go to justice or whatnot, but do we have a number of how many tickets were given out for no helmet offenses on side-by-sides this past year since the legislation was brought in?
So that's not something that we would keep track of. I mean, I'm interested, you know.
Sure.
But no.
For your department.
That would have to come out of law enforcement, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Minister. Under 3.2.01 again, provincial revenue. What inspections do people or businesses have to pay for? Which type of inspections are down over this period of time? And can we get a breakdown of that? Whether it be buses or cars or vehicles or...
One second. No. So if we're talking about...
Just because the revenue's down $500,000 there.
Yes, yeah. So this is not kind of vehicle inspections. This is more elevator inspections, boiler pressure vessel inspections. So there are some instances where we, you know, if we have a mandatory... If we require an inspection, we will go and do an inspection. Certain times, a commercial business might need an inspection on an expedited, you know, they might need it on an expedited timeline. And whereas we would pay to send someone to do an inspection that we want to do on our time frame, but if, let's say, a company wanted an inspection in 2 days' time, they would then pay for the travel for that expedited inspection and pay for the inspection. And so we also, anyway, so that's kind of the inspections. It's for boiler pressure vessels and elevators.
Thank you, Minister. I'm done, Chair.
Okay. M.H.A. Brown?
I'm done as well, Chair.
You're done as well. Okay, I ask the clerk to recall the subheading.
Digital Government and Services, 3.1.01 to 3.4.02 inclusive.
Shall 3.1.01 to 3.4.02 inclusive Digital Government and Services carry? Carried.
The total?
Shall the total carry? It carries. Okay. So first, I just want to ask the minister if she has anything further to say.
No, we got a list of things to send you, so thank you very much. And I believe we have some binders for you as well. I just want to thank all of the team for all of their hard work. And everyone, obviously most of them who aren't here with us, thank them for their hard work and thank you for your very important questions.
Okay. MHA Tibbs, do you have anything further?
No, good job, Minister. Appreciate your answers and your team's answers as well. Keep up the good work.
MHA Brown?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Minister. Thank you and staff for coming out this evening and doing this. And we'll look forward to seeing you all again next year. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Evan, for clerking. And thank the broadcast staff for this as well.
Okay. So the time of the next meeting is Wednesday, April 26th at 5:30 p.m. to consider the estimates of the Department of Labrador Affairs. I ask for a motion to adjourn. MHA Stoyles, this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.